on the night when our Lord and Savior was betrayed, on the precipice of the ultimate act of divine love, Jesus gathers his beloved disciples one last time to impart to them a teaching and an institution of the utmost importance. Soon he will be taken by soldiers, tried in a kangaroo court, beaten and mocked and crucified. And it was the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be crucified. Our Lord Jesus knew well that this Passover would be unlike any Passover he had celebrated in his entire life. Jesus had set his face toward Jerusalem for this purpose, and he would not be deterred from his end. It was the will of the Father, and it would come to pass just as the Father had declared from all eternity. And for the love set before him, his love for the Father and his love for us, Jesus would gladly do what he had to do. According to God's providence, the stage was set from the greatest to the lowest. The governor Pilate was in town, and with him came the authority to crucify prisoners. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to put Jesus to death. Satan had entered into Judas, called Iscariot, who was of the number of the 12, and they hatched their wicked plan. Everything was in place, from the great to the small. Even the man carrying a jar of water had his role to play. Our Lord Jesus knew well that that Passover would be different than any other Passover Israel had celebrated from ancient times. This year, this time, the lamb to be slain was him. He, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, his flesh would be rent asunder. He would be marched to the cross, and his blood would be spilled as the final and all-sufficient sacrifice for sin. Every year for over a millennium, God's people slayed a lamb, spilt its blood, and ate it to remember their deliverance from Egypt. So great was the number of that yearly sacrifice that Josephus, the Roman Jewish historian, tells us 200 lambs were slain a year. Every Passover from the very first, every lamb slain since, millions upon millions of sacrifices all pointed forward to this last and final sacrifice, offered up to the Father by the beloved Son for the propitiation of the sins of the world. On that solemn night, when our Lord and Savior was betrayed, before his final hour had come, Jesus institutes his supper. In this supper will his promise be kept. I am with you always until the end of the age. For on that night he instituted a meal far greater than the Passover meal, which Israel had celebrated in times past. He instituted a meal far greater even than that first Passover celebrated in Egypt. On the first Passover, they were to sacrifice the lamb and eat it to give them strength for their journey ahead. The lamb and the unleavened bread would sustain them as they departed from Egypt in haste for their wilderness wanderings. The blood of the lamb was to be spilled and painted on the doorpost of the house, for the angel of death was to visit Egypt that night and carry along with him the firstborn of every family. Yet that grim visage would pass over the people that had the lamb's blood upon their door. And so, by the blood of the lamb, the people would be saved. And by the blood of the lamb, Pharaoh would finally capitulate and let the people go free. On that night, with his disciples, Jesus had the earnest desire to eat this Passover with them before he suffered, but he could not. Our Lord says, "For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." For that night, as he played host, it would not be the flesh of a lamb that he gives them to eat. That night, the Passover would be replaced, the covenant superseded, a new covenant established. When the time came for the cup of blessing to be passed around the table, Jesus broke from the age-old Passover liturgy. For these men who had celebrated the Passover from their youth, this disjunction would have been startling. Instead of taking the cup and saying the appropriate prayer, the Lord grabbed bread and said, "This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Instead of giving them the flesh of a lamb to eat that night, he gives them his own flesh. It will be food for them. As our Lord Christ says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And this bread, his body, is better than the flesh of the lamb, and better than the unleavened bread, and even better than the manna given to the people of Israel in the wilderness. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Israelites were sustained in their bodies for a time by the lamb and the bread, while they wandered in the wilderness, tired and harried. The Lord provided for them manna as well. Yet ordinary bread and ordinary meat only sustains the body for a time. We, dear Christians, wander in the wilderness of this world, and the Lord provides for us in this wilderness. Jesus has given you food to sustain you. When you are wearied or harried by sin, the Lord gives you his body, first given on the cross for the forgiveness of sins, to give you life anew. When you are attacked by temptation or feel weak and like you might succumb, the Lord Jesus unites with you in his body to strengthen you. And when your body is sick and worn out and on the cusp of death, he gives you his body, which has been raised, lives and reigns on the throne of heaven, so that united with him, you will rise as well. This bread, his body, does not only sustain you for a time, but strengthens and preserves you unto life everlasting. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." For this is to be a perpetual feast in which the Lord is always with us until the end of the age. It is a perpetual proclamation of salvation that he won for us in his atoning death on the cross. As the Apostle Paul says, "For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Thus it is fitting for Christians to gather together and celebrate their crucified and risen Savior and proclaim his death and receive this gift given for them by their Savior, that they would be renewed and strengthened and preserved by his life-giving body. "My flesh is the life of the world. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever," Christ says. In the same manner also he took the cup after he had supped and said, "This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. The old covenant has been surpassed. And here in this extraordinary Passover is the most extraordinary statement yet. Since the time of Noah, the people of God have been forbidden from eating or drinking the blood of an animal, for the life is in the blood. But here, Jesus says that this cup is the new covenant in his blood. It is the very blood of God, the very blood of life. And he says, "Drink ye all of it." Jesus says, "My blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. When you drink this wine, you drink the blood of life. You are united with Christ, and he abides in you, and you abide in him. When stricken with guilt, when tempted by sin, when suffering persecution or hardship, what greater comfort can there be than to know that the Lord your God has united himself with you and abides with you in guilt and temptation and suffering, so that he might give you life? On that first Passover, the blood of the Lamb was painted on the doorposts of the houses of the people of Israel, and the angel of death passed over. In the Lord's Supper, the blood of the Lamb of God is painted on the doorpost of your house. It is painted upon your lips so that death will pass over you. Thus Jesus says, "Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So come to the altar. Jesus is here. He is host, and he has instituted this meal for you. Here is his body, which was given for you on the cross. Here is his blood shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Let your desires be for the bread of God, which is the flesh of Jesus Christ, and his blood, which is immeasurable love. His body is food indeed, and his blood is drink indeed. It will renew you with the forgiveness of sins. It will sustain and preserve you unto life everlasting. The table is set. Take, eat, take, drink. In the name of Jesus, amen. You may rise for the offertory.